fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Happy Zeke Day, everybody. It's Tuesday, August 29th, 2 days away from our live event in Philadelphia. Hope you're going to be there. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today, a fantasy football smorgasbord. We're just going to talk about a lot of players, a lot of good info for you as you get ready for your drafts. Dave, Jamie, Heath, good morning.
Good morning.
Sup, Pooh?
Good morning.
Oh, thank you. So, nothing sup on my end. I do want to give out, I never do this, so let's give out the Twitter handles real quick. At Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. At Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y. At Heath Cummings Sr., Heath Cummings S-R. At Dave Richard, singular, at Dave Richard. We've got good advice for you on Twitter, and if you follow me, then you have a good chance of getting on the show, because I put a lot of tweets in the notes. And also, I never want to be someone who has more tweets than Twitter followers, so I'm approaching that, so please help. So Ezekiel Elliott is appealing his suspension today. We have some news on him that came from NFL.com this morning, and we're going to talk about last night's podcast league draft, which was 14 teams and PPR. How do things change in 14-team leagues? Guys, fantasy football is back, and that means FanDuel is back. Fantasy football for everyday fans. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com. Click the Join Now button and use our code CBSPOD. New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. Sign up and use that promo code CBSPOD. All right, so we got this report from Mike Florio. I said NFL.com. I'm very sorry. It's Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio said there's a, quote, very good chance, end quote, that Ezekiel Elliott plays week one. So he could go the court route like Tom Brady did and try to appeal this suspension. We don't know what it's going to be. Right now it's 6 games. But this could mean that Ezekiel Elliott might miss time later in the year. Or maybe it'll be next year. Who knows? But what do you do with Ezekiel Elliott right now?
Do you draft him in the second round?
Yeah. I don't know how much you move him up based on this.
If it's 4 games, he's a first-round pick for me.
Yep. I don't disagree with that. It's late first round because I want that early pick coming back in round two. I'm not taking him at number 3 overall. But there's the reason why there's a, quote, very good chance is because he's going to take the Tom Brady route and hit the courts and appeal this thing and get a stay or an injunction or whatever.
Then he could just play the whole year.
Potentially play the whole year.
That would be ridiculous.
And so if you get him at any point other than number 3 overall and that's the case, then you're making out like a bandit.
Or you could lose him for the last 6 games of the season.
I mean, that's also a possibility that no one knows about right now.
I would take that over what we're currently dealing with, though.
Well, sure. Oh, you would?
Because then you get off to a good start and then you can McFadden it the rest of the way.
Or whoever.
Ooh, well, I guess you got to make the playoffs before you worry about the playoffs. So
there's always guys who emerge.
Yeah, but there's no Zeke's. Well, unlikely.
Would you rather have the first 10 games or the last 10 games?
I think, well, because you have to make the playoffs, I think it makes sense to take the first 10 games.
Yes.
Right, plus one of those last games is going to be week 17. Your league might not play until week 17.
Shouldn't.
That would help you out. So that's one less headache that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also is so dependent on the type of league you're in. Like I took him yesterday at number 18 in a 24 team league, and I felt pretty good about that. I'm still not to the point to where I'm taking him in the first round if he gets a 4-game suspension. I'll take him early second.
All right. So I guess, just
to follow up, I think it makes sense in the league that you're referencing because you only need to start one guy.
Right.
You know, so.
And in that league, like you're not trying to finish 6th out of 12 teams to make the playoffs. You got to finish 8th out of 24 teams to make the playoffs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I want you guys to tell me just, this could be relevant for the Zeke owner or the Doug Martin owner. And maybe it's not relevant for the Zeke owner since he's likely going to play week one according to this report. Reports are wrong sometimes. We never know. But I had forgotten how good Tampa Bay's early season schedule was. And Jacquizz Rodgers, he's going a lot later than McFadden, at least in the drafts I've been in. At Miami in week one, home against Chicago in week two. And then it gets tough at Minnesota, Giants, Patriots, Cardinals. Yikes, Doug Martin. But if you're just looking for somebody for weeks one and two, Jacquizz Rodgers at Miami, home against Chicago, how good could that be for fantasy owners?
Could be very good.
10-plus fantasy points in both games.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get, we assume he's going to get over 15 carries, which is what he needs to even have a chance.
He'll get volume. He'll get scoring chances. They should be winning those two games.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, cool.
The one concern would be is that they didn't really use Charles Sims a lot when Rodgers was getting his opportunity last year. And so we'll see if that hurts him a little bit. Because he had that 30-carry game against Carolina on a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't expect that. But like Dave said, 15-plus carries is certainly well within reach.
Yep. And like I gave the stat yesterday for Jacquizz. 5 games with 15 or more carries last year, and he scored between 12 and 15 points in standard scoring leagues in 4 of those 5 games. So he had 4 pretty darn big games. And he scored 7 fantasy points in the other, which isn't really that bad. That's going to be around a number 2 running back. Most weeks, average 4.2 yards or more per carry in 3 of those 5 games. Anyway, just want to throw that out there. Don't forget about Jacquizz Rodgers if you need someone just for the first 2 weeks. All right, so I guess things haven't really changed that much with Ezekiel Elliott with this recent news, and hopefully tomorrow we'll have a lot more to talk about with him. So let's go to the draft. We'll start just with the draft last night. It was a 14-team PPR league, and again, the point of today's show is to talk about a lot of players and get people ready and give people an idea on how we feel about certain guys. Who was your favorite pick on your team from last night's draft? Heath Cummings, you can start.
The $26 million man, Matthew Stafford. I drafted him in the 9th round as the 13th quarterback off the board. And I just think it's a little bit silly. Stafford's been a top 10 quarterback 3 of the last 4 seasons. I expect him to be a top 10 quarterback again this year. There are some guys that are younger that he was better than last year that are now being drafted ahead of him, and I'll take Stafford late.
You know what, though, Heath? I'm sorry. Do you remember? So that was 126 overall or something? You know?
I think it was right before your favorite pick.
No, it was after my favorite pick. So I'm just sorry to do this to you, but my favorite pick is so much better than your favorite pick.
Well, you're choosing 2 players.
No.
Like, if you want to go with my favorite 2 picks, then maybe it would compete with your favorite 2 picks.
I'm only going with one.
Jamie and I will be the judge on this. We'll see which one is truly better. Stafford's not a bad one in a 14-team league, round 9.
Right.
It's not bad.
7 or 8 picks earlier, I took Andrew Luck.
Well, Heath has a quarterback week 1.
I have Carson Palmer.
And week 2.
week 3.
I have Carson Palmer, who has that great early schedule.
No, we don't get to factor that in. You said it was just one player.
But Andrew Luck should not be going after pick 100. He should be a top 100 pick. I took him 106th overall. I'm very happy about it.
Adam, you're not worried that he didn't participate in a wink of training camp practice?
Yeah, I'm worried. But
you're not worried that he's just now getting into throwing a football?
He's thrown a football all his life. It's like riding a bike, Dave.
If he's practicing this week, at some capacity this week, maybe it's Friday after they come back from whatever they're doing Thursday night. I don't know if they're on the road or
home. They have a preseason game. I don't know where it is.
Right.
Either.
But if he starts from that point forward, they're clearly at this point, Chuck Pagano's not playing in week 1. I don't think he can. So if he's practiced through week 1, practiced through week 2, get those 2 ugly games out of the way against the Rams and the Cardinals.
Comes back week 3 against Cleveland.
Comes back week 3 against Cleveland, and he's right for 14 games. Maybe throw in another game like we saw last year and misses with a concussion or
you
something.
You guys can't see Adam, but he's raising the roof.
I did raise the roof because I'm loving this pick.
Hold on. Are you still raising the roof?
I
want to see this.
I did the same thing in another draft last night. Now, this is a keeper league, so I get Andrew Luck in round 10 next year as well.
That's genius.
In the 10th round.
Right. Yeah, very nice.
So, I'm going to pair him with Carson Palmer in a draft I did this weekend. I told the guy, take Palmer to pair with Luck. It's the perfect situation because of their schedule. And Adam did the right thing there. So if you're okay getting through the first couple weeks with 2 quarterbacks, which a lot of people are, you're in great shape.
Adam, yeah. I want you to keep raising the roof because I want to see your reaction when I tell you that in week 4, Andrew Luck plays at Seattle.
I don't care. So I'll keep Carson Palmer. He's got San Francisco in week 4.
What I'm thinking is...
So you're excited about stealing this quarterback that you're going to stream even after he's healthy?
Well, he can say that he can stream him because he's taking him as late as he's taking him. And right. It's a unique situation given everything that's going down with Andrew Luck.
My quarterback has a chance to be the number 1 quarterback while he plays. Yours doesn't. My quarterback has a very good chance of being a top 5 quarterback. Yours has about a 15% chance.
technically, your quarterback has a chance of beginning the year on the PUP list.
Yes. That is very true.
And now you have the Ezekiel Elliott of quarterbacks.
That's true.
Which, I mean, listen, let's face it. With that title, it's not that bad that he's going to miss six games. But the Colts have said all along that they don't intend to keep him on the PUP list. September 2nd is a very big day for everyone who's looking at Andrew Luck in fantasy.
All right.
Still on the PUP list after that day. Bye-bye for 6 weeks of the season. Hello, Scott Tolzien.
But, again, that's a different conversation, though, in terms of Luck. You just said Seattle in week four. So now he's avoided three games where you may not have been 100% comfortable starting him anyway. You would have started him.
You would have started him against the Rams and the Cardinals.
For the most part, yes. But he avoids those three games, right? Who does he have week five?
Week five, he is at home versus the 49ers.
Yeah,
pretty good.
It's gonna be.
Do they hold him out till then? Do they take
no,
him?
No, not if he's healthy. I mean, if he's healthy, he's gonna play when he's healthy. They don't care
I'm
who the matchups
my
are.
My personal expectation is his first game that is week four.
All right,
I think it's week.
He comes back at Seattle.
I'll go by what Stephen Holder, one of the beat writers for the Indianapolis Star, said, or Mike Chappell, one of the two guys who cover the Colts in Indianapolis. They said week three is the most realistic thing at this point.
All right, Jamie, who was your favorite pick from last night?
Zach Ertz in the sixth round. I didn't have a great receiving core at that point, but I wasn't going to pass up on Ertz at that point in the draft. And so my math is terrible, so I'm not going to tell you what pick that was. It was the third pick of the sixth round.
14
team 93.
League.
So, yeah, I mean, that's about the spot he's going on ADP. And so I passed up on, you know, I think I had taken Pierre Garçon at that point. Yes. So my receivers were Michael Thomas and Pierre Garçon, and that's it. I had good running backs at that point, but it was comparing Zach Ertz to Emmanuel Sanders and Tyrell Williams and DeSean Jackson. I just thought there was much, much more upside with Ertz, and I wasn't going to get Ertz or Rudolph or potentially Tyler Eifert back. So it was kind of an easy choice for me.
Yeah, and not to mention, tight end gets pretty scary in PPR after Ertz is off the board because, you know, Eifert's got this knee thing.
Well, Rudolph is still very good.
Yeah, sure. But you know, it's a 14-team league, so you're not guaranteed to get any of those guys. And Kobe Fleener's my tight end. We'll talk about tight end later. So Jamie definitely took the value with Ertz. That's 73rd overall, not 93rd. Third pick of round six. Dave, your favorite pick on your team last night?
My favorite value was Tyreek Hill in round five, 62nd overall. I thought in a 14-team league, getting him to be my number two receiver was pretty good. I thought that was a real nice addition to my roster. And when we were up, when Tyler was on the clock, I say we because I've got a partner, his name's Sia, Tyreek and Devontae Parker were the two wideouts available, and I knew we'd get one of them, and I was excited that it was Hill instead of Parker, so I kind of taught myself that as much as I like Devontae Parker, I still like Hill even more. I think for to answer your question, I think Aaron Rodgers at 34 overall was my favorite. This is a 14-team league. It certainly makes the quarterback talent pool a little more shallow. I've got the best one in fantasy football, and I still got him in round three. Felt like a steal to me.
I think the worst thing in fantasy is when like four guys in your queue just get taken right before your pick.
You mean like Aaron Rodgers, Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, and Leonard Fournette?
That's exactly those four players I wanted very badly in round three. It went Fournette, McCaffrey, Cook, Rodgers, and then I was so mad, I cursed. My wife got mad at me for like throwing a fit. I took Ty Montgomery with the seventh pick of round three in a 14-team league. It felt really early, but all those guys went, and Aaron Rodgers, Dave, you really ticked me off. So good job. That's how you know it's a good pick, when the girl behind you is really angry. Way to go. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
We got news and notes for you. I do want to remind you, Philadelphia on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. If you're in the area, please come to Victory Beer Hall at Xfinity Live. Free food and drinks, Q&A. We're gonna do that live podcast. Also, this year, some programming changes. If you've been listening to our show for a while, you know we do the AFC home games on Thursday, the NFC on Friday. This year, we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to do the tough calls for the week on Thursday. You know, the really tough matchups won't be AFC or NFC specific. And then on Friday, we'll kind of go through all the games a little bit quicker and give some more, maybe some more sleepers and stuff like that, update you on injuries, talk about Thursday night's game. So I think it'll be a little bit better. Saturday, we're going to have a Saturday show. We're going to record it on Fridays. I can't promise this will happen every week, but the goal is to do about a 20-minute mailbag and air it on Saturday. So, you know, we get so many emails, don't get a chance to read that many. This will help us, A, not rush to get emails in the Thursday and Friday shows, and B, just be able to read more of your questions and get you more involved in the show. And then we are not doing a Monday show. Instead, we are doing a Sunday night recap show during the Sunday night football game. But you'll have that late Sunday night for your early morning Monday commute. I think you will enjoy that. And finally, Ion Fantasy Football, our radio show on CBS Sports Radio. That is back starting on Saturday. A four-hour bonanza extravaganza, Dave.
Did you just curse the show?
I'm so confident in our show on Saturday that it is bonanza-proof.
You just called it a bonanza extravaganza.
That's how big of a show it is.
How many more words that end in ZA can you come up with to describe the show?
In this stanza, I don't think I can do any of those. But so Ion Fantasy Football will be every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to midnight. Actually, I don't even know. Are we 8 to midnight or are we 10 to 2 a.m.?
We are 8 to midnight.
Okay, this week.
You and
this
me,
week.
4 hours.
Okay, that's awesome. So we'll speak to you then. That is a call-in show, CBS Sports Radio, or you can go online and listen on the website. I'm not sure what it is off the top of my head. Do you know? Anybody know?
What, the website?
CBSSportsRadio.com.
It's probably... Or CBSSports.com.
Oh, okay. I know that website.
It's also in the app, the free CBS Sports app.
All right, perfect. I'm going to stop plugging things, and let's get into the notes. Matthew Stafford is going to sign a contract extension that will make him the highest paid player in NFL history, and therefore the greatest player in NFL history. Le'Veon Bell will be back on September 1st. A quick reaction. Blake Bortles is Jacksonville's starting quarterback. Deshaun Kizer is Cleveland's starting quarterback.
Yeah. Well, that's a different noise than blah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm...
Well, we're not putting him on our fantasy team.
Pessimistically intrigued.
You've just described Browns fans for the last 20 years.
Like, huh. I wonder how this will go bad.
Okay, I'm going to guess that Deshaun Kizer averages 2 turnovers per game. You want to take the over or the under?
Under.
I think he's going to be terrible.
32 turnovers is a lot.
Yeah,
he'll
know.
He'll get
he's
benched before he gets to 24.
That's why I think he's. That's why I said per game. This is his guy whose own
option.
College
he
coach.
Is the best option.
Yeah, his college coach said he wasn't ready, but he peppered Corey Coleman with targets, didn't he, last week? So that's kind of interesting. We'll talk about that.
Let's see. There's Kenny Britt on one side. There's David Njapu on the other side.
Hey!
And there's there's Corey Coleman.
That's not nice. Chuck Pagano.
David Njapu.
Chuck Pagano did not name a starter for week one yet. It'll be Steven Morris or probably Scott Tolzien. Josh McCown, Jets starting quarterback. Reaction? But better for Robbie Anderson. I'd say
let's rank Blake Bortles, Josh McCown, and Deshaun Kizer for everybody in those.
I think that's
four,
Chris Towers, 2 quarterback leagues.
right. And for everybody in those 4 quarterback leagues,
Bortles, Kizer, McCown.
Yeah, I don't think I even have any Jet quarterback ranked in my top 32.
Where's Savage factoring with this?
He's got to be ahead of the class.
You're gonna take
Blake Bortles.
I would put him last just because I don't think he lasts the season as a starter.
I don't want any of these guys
I'd
on
put him
my
ahead
team,
of
and I don't think he'll last long. He might last longer than the other three.
I'd go Bortles, Kizer, Savage, McCown.
All right, let me interrupt this horribly scheduled programming. CJ Broseis returned to practice for the Seahawks. Thomas Rawls could be back today. Leonard Fournette will be ready for week one. Jarvis Landry
wants to play Thursday night.
Oh, that'd be fun. We'll be in Philadelphia, but... Yeah, don't play. Sit it out, Fournette.
Yeah, rest that foot.
Jarvis Landry is not getting traded. Brandon Marshall returned to practice. Odell Beckham has a chance to play in week one. Is Odell Beckham still your number 3 receiver?
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Who do you have ahead of him?
Until he's, you know, dire straits, which he's not going to be before week one. So
I've got AJ Green ahead of him.
All right. Seattle defensive end Frank Clark is having his wrist evaluated. He's a very good player. And the Redskins nose tackle Phil Taylor is out for the season with a torn quad. Guys, I just want to tell you, we'll get there eventually, but a terrible round of Team Name Tuesday is coming up later. It's just, it's so
terrible
it's,
by your standards or terrible by everybody else's standards?
I don't know. I don't know the difference. I have bad standards. I have low standards. Like, for the standards
of
this show.
I mean, you think Ghostbusters 2 is an Oscar-worthy film.
It's so fun.
Hey, I think they were nominated for Best Special Effects with the Slime.
Were they?
By who?
No.
Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards?
By Adam's brother.
Yeah, you know. Gotta love the Nickelodeon
Master
slime.
Of Slime.
Email of the day number one is from Brandon at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Decimal points are being voted on this year for our league. People for decimal points say that they are for it because it eliminates ties. I prefer the more old school, no fractional point leagues. What points leagues? What are your guys' preferences? And do you have a good tiebreaker option?
I think I'm maybe the most passionate about this, and I really feel like decimal point leagues are the way that it should be. And it's not because it avoids ties. That's a nice benefit. But the reason to do it is because you should get credit for every yard. 10 yards is not 1 point better than 9 yards.
I agree.
There's
no justification.
I agree.
How many times have you just had your nose frosted because you lost by a few points and you had Doug Baldwin with 79 yards and Jay Ajayi with 88 yards?
And I will tell you, the reason it was old school is, and I did this in the past. There was a time when we calculated the score of our fantasy football team out of the newspaper. It was much easier to just round to the nearest tenth. We have evolved.
I don't
need to do that anymore.
I don't see a good reason not to do decimal scoring. And it's weird because I only play in one fractional scoring league. I don't see a reason not to do it.
I think we're for it.
All right, we approve it.
Can we just keep it to a tenth of a point?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have a final score 263.7482 to 261.55.
Well, I don't think it would go to the thousandth. It would just go to the hundredth. But it would depend on what your quarterback scoring was worth. If your quarterback scoring is a point for every 20 yards, then it's easy to just stick with a tenth. Mm-hmm. But if it's one for every 25 yards, then you kind of have to go to the hundredth.
Hmm. All right. Email of the day number two is from Malcolm. Where's Malcolm from?
The middle.
Can you guys spend a little time on explaining how the FAB process works, the free agent acquisition budget, and which days should they process? Guys, give me FAB in 30 seconds.
It's basically like a weekly auction block where free agents on the waiver wire are available in a silent auction. Everybody's got 100 fictional dollars, 200 fictional dollars, whatever the case may be, to spend as they see fit on players that they want to add. And the hot free agents each week, or every free agent each week, goes to the highest bidder. So if
I'll give you an example. Did you guys in our magazine league, anybody bid on Darren McFadden?
No.
No?
Nope.
Adam, did you?
No.
Okay, I did. And I don't know if, wait, maybe in our two quarterback league. I'm sorry. One of our leagues, I got McFadden for $11 out of 100 because I lost Kenneth Dixon and I lost Quincy Enunwa. So I had two guys I could easily punt. This is a draft we did in
June.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to overspend for McFadden. I probably did, but I thought 10% right around there of my budget was worth committing to a guy who's potentially could start six games or as of now starts none. But you kind of want to, you know, gauge the rest of your league comparatively to what the player's relevance is.
My preference is it runs overnight on Tuesday in the season, and that's the only time it runs.
Mm. Really?
I like it every night.
Yeah, every night.
I like it because I hate not having Sunday morning available.
Well, if you have a commissioner like me, he'll turn FAB off on Sunday morning and let people
go make
ad drops.
And throughout the year, you'll have at least four different headache situations where somebody picked somebody up when they weren't supposed to because FAB wasn't turned back on.
It could happen. I'm not going to deny that. FAB's the best. It is the most fair way to do free agency.
I agree.
No question. All right, finally, guys, email of the day number three is from John in Seoul. Early in the draft, we had an owner nominate David Johnson for $1, and then another GM quickly bid him up to $50, and then another got David Johnson for $51. Then the chat room started to light up, saying that David Johnson was the Steelers tight end David Johnson. The bids quickly stopped as everyone realized it was indeed David Johnson, the tight end for the Steelers. So someone ended up paying $51 for a worthless player. I begged the league to start the draft over. And the room was split with half agreeing with me and the other half saying it was, quote, strategy. Give us your input. I have never seen this before.
That is so awesome.
Is it?
The guy who nominated him did it purposely to get the wrong David Johnson.
Yes.
Okay. And then somebody stupidly went from whatever the first bid was. What was the second bid?
50.
But then other people bid it up to 50.
Yeah, he got outbid.
51, 53, yeah.
They just see Johnson and they go crazy.
I
would have said that the way I would have decided it, that the last guy who bid gets him for $3. So whatever it is over 50.
I would have just backed it out. I would have
so
just
if the final bid was 51, then he gets him for one.
One, right.
I would have just backed it out, man. Like, just back it out.
I would have just laughed and laughed.
I think it would have been very funny.
Well, no, if the room is split, that's the way you settle it, is you have to give some sort of penance to the person who made the mistake.
Oh, what about a penance to the guy who nominated the wrong David Johnson?
He did that purposely.
Yeah, he did it on purpose.
So he should lose $1 for that.
No, what?
No, and it worked.
His face burned off.
For being A, funny, and B, smart?
How is that smart?
He got his other people to spend $50.
Yeah, he did.
Well, you're not going to let it stand.
He took 50
Half
bucks
the room
off
wanted
the board.
To let it stand.
I would, but you didn't. Commissioner Eisenberg just said it's not going to happen.
The schmuck who paid $53.
They're both schmucks. This league is full
$3.
Of schmucks.
I love this league. Yes. I love the guy that nominated
Me
David
too.
Johnson.
It's a pretty schmucky move. Random question for you. If you draft Drew Brees, should you draft a backup for week one as New Orleans is at Minnesota? Only three quarterbacks scored more than 19 fantasy points, and only one more than 22, and that was Rodgers against Minnesota last year.
Nope. If Palmer's there in the last round of the draft, I'm not going to make an effort to do it, but if Palmer's there in the last round, I'd draft him and start him over Reese.
Any quarterback that I'm drafting that early in a league, I'm not taking to bench in my first fantasy game. I know he's playing against Minnesota.
I understand.
Aaron Rodgers is playing Seattle. Am I going to go run and hide in the corner because Aaron Rodgers is going to see Richard Sherman and, you know, the Legion of Boom?
Go run and hide in the corner right now.
I mean, no, you probably shouldn't. But Rodgers, Breeze isn't Rodgers, and Breeze isn't as good on the road, although this will be an indoor game. And I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting. Okay, so let me tell you about FanDuel, and then we'll get into some divisive players like Jay Ajayi, Todd Gurley, Marshawn Lynch, DeAndre Hopkins, etc., and see where we're at. These are guys we've had really good debates about throughout the preseason, the offseason. See where we're at with them right now after preseason week three. But week one is just around the corner. There are so many FanDuel contests to participate in. If you want to be in the Sunday Million for free, that is over $1 million in cash prizes, by the way, go to FanDuel.com and sign up. Click the Join Now button. Use our promo code, CBSPOD. Again, the promo code is CBSPOD. Well, I'm a big FanDuel fan. We all are. In fact, when we used to sit and watch football together on Sundays in the office, if we talked about our fantasy teams, it was usually our FanDuel teams that we were talking about. We were really into it. There's this thrill that you get on Sundays in FanDuel. It's just a little bit different from your seasonal leagues. New contests start every week, so there are no busted seasons due to injury or anything like that. There's something for everyone. Lots of contests to choose from, and they start at just $1. So we're going to be playing FanDuel this year. Please join us. Join FanDuel.com. The promo code is CBSPOD, and new users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com. Sign up with the promo code CBSPOD. That's FanDuel.com. The promo code is CBSPOD. Void where prohibited. All right, divisive players. Jay Ajayi is going 15th overall, RB7. That means he's the seventh running back off the board. What do you think?
One spot too low.
You think he should be RB6?
Yep.
Okay.
I think he is exactly the 15th best player in fantasy football drafts.
I also have him ranked 15th
Me too.
Overall.
Me too.
But I agree with Jamie. I'm just going to agree with everyone. He's 15th overall, and he's RB6.
I mean, at this point, the top five running backs, I think, are pretty much established. I don't know what's going to change that, barring Ezekiel Elliott getting his suspension cleared or the injunction, whatever.
I think we have different top five running backs.
Not us. Saying five as a group.
Okay.
ADP, our rankings, however you slice them, dice them.
Johnson, okay. Le'Veon, and then some order of Gordon, McCoy, and Freeman.
Exactly.
I've got Freeman, McCoy, and Murray.
I've got Gordon, McCoy, Freeman.
Right. I have McCoy over all those. So I think when you look at it, It's the 6 through 8 is kind of where the next decision comes. It's Ajayi, it's Murray, and it's Howard.
And Gurley is in that discussion, no?
I think Gurley is probably 9th, uh-huh. But sure, he's in that 6 through 10. You know, you want to stretch it out to whoever the 10th best guy is. Mm-hmm. So when you for me, I would put Howard and Gurley next. I think it's between Ajayi and Murray. And I think Ajayi's ceiling is a little bit higher this year. Nothing to do with Murray falling off, but more Henry getting a bigger role.
Okay. Yeah, actually, Todd Gurley is the next guy. 21st overall. I think the stat is one 100-yard rushing game in his last 16 games? No, 24 games. So that's crazy. He's RB8, Todd Gurley, actually going after Ajayi. I think Todd Gurley is now going ahead of Jordan Howard? Let me double check.
I have him at RB8, and I have him at number 21 overall, so there is nothing divisive about this at all.
For you.
And you like Gurley better than Howard.
I've got Gurley one spot ahead of Howard.
It's like we've completely forgotten last year.
He's not going ahead of Jordan Howard, I'm sorry. He's going ahead of Fournette. So he's RB8.
He's got to be going
Unless
ahead
he's
of
nine.
Someone else.
Now he might be 9. I may have miscounted. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, mid to late second round, Todd Gurley. I've recently just, like I said last week, I had doubts about Ajayi, I had doubts about Gurley, and I just decided I'm sick and tired of having doubts about running backs. These guys are going to get almost all of the touches for their team. They're going to get the goal line work. You know, I'm tired of being so negative. So I came around on Ajayi, I came around on Gurley, and I'm totally fine with them in round two. Do you all feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the high guy on Ajayi, I would take him at the end of round one if, you know, depending on how running backs shook out.
And I'm with you on Ajayi, and I'll take Gurley late round two, but I'm still not convinced, A, that the offensive line is much improved, and B, that Gurley himself is much improved.
But don't you buy into it at any stretch, better coach, better quarterback, just better
quarterback.
Everything?
They are actually
Goff's not going to be better this year than he was a year ago?
I think he'll be nominally better, but I still think that
he's
going to
get better.
Tested.
I mean, he was a train wreck last year.
He'll be better than train wreck.
He'll be better if only because they are running actual offensive plays.
Yeah,
right.
He'll be better.
And better talent around him.
And like, everybody doesn't do the same thing on every play. They do different types of things.
Yes.
Sometimes they run this type of route.
Look, I want to love Gurley. He was my number one player last year. I
You're
wanted
like
him to be
right
amazing.
Now. That's what you are.
Their offense last year was like super.
Gurley burned you.
No.
You,
it's not that at all. It's not that.
You're done
taking...
with him. Completely done.
No,
wash your hands.
It is not that.
No chance of reconciliation.
Absolutely. I gave him the chance to
he
reconcile.
He came back to your door with flowers and chocolates.
But he didn't. He came back with a bad offensive line, and he didn't have any type of breakaway plays during the preseason. He had a couple of decent runs. But
yeah, he didn't have that many
carries.
The backup
carries, behind though. Him has been running better behind
but
that
Dave,
same offensive
he
line.
Didn't even play in week three.
Let me
you
just
know?
Ask you this.
I mean,
let's forget about last year. Better offense right now. The Rams or the Bears?
Rams.
Rams. By far
now,
Rams.
Now, without
Based
Meredith.
Blake Haller, it's huh? the Rams.
Without Meredith.
Their offensive everything. Line, it's Chicago.
Based on everything. As a whole.
I don't think it's that
As
simple.
A whole,
I
the Rams offense
I'll take
is McVay better than the Bears offense. Everything.
No,
well, not offensive line.
No,
offensive everything
line.
But
not
offensive
line. Line.
Yes,
but
Bears offensive line is better.
I understand
Bears
that.
Offensive
but
line
when
is
you
good.
Say here's the Rams and here's the Bears, the Rams offense is better right now going into the season than the Bears offense is going into the season. I don't
if
know
it
how
is,
argue
it's
that.
Not by much.
It is by much.
No, it's not. You are giving so much credit to Jared Goff for no
I'm
reason
I'm giving so
whatsoever.
Much credit to Sean McVay. I'm giving
I, and
so
I'm
much
telling
credit
you that
Jared
Sean
McVay
is a better play
I'm giving much. Look at the receivers.
The receivers are definitely better in L.A.
It's Everything's better
well,
as a whole.
But the offensive,
yeah, the
line,
offensive
is,
line is better. That's it.
Yeah, but that's a big part of it. I mean,
it's a huge part of
I
it.
I agree. I would take the Rams offense over the Bears, but I don't know that it's so much leaps and bounds better. I mean,
they're both in the bottom half of the NFL.
You could say the Bears might have a better running back, you know? I don't know who's better.
They really might. Like, that's the one the biggest problem with Gurley last year, well, there were a lot of big problems with him, but one of them was that he didn't run very well despite the offensive line. He missed holes. He missed opportunities.
I totally agree.
And
with
now
you,
this preseason, we've seen him still miss them, and other running backs have come in and they've played better. Malcolm Brown has played better
against the second and third team defense.
But he's behind that same offensive line, Jamie.
You should
but
take Malcolm Brown.
I'm
not telling you to take Malcolm Brown.
I'd have to just say that we didn't really see much of Gurley this offseason and or this preseason. He looked better in week two, and he didn't play in week three. And Brown got all the work. So I don't know. Like, I definitely get both sides of your arguments. I don't want to judge him too harshly on the preseason. And he's going to catch passes too, because Goff is going to dump the ball off to him.
Sure.
But he is going like six picks. So Ajayi, I said, was 7 and Gurley was 8. Jordan Howard's still going ahead of both of them. Ajayi's 8, almost the same as Howard. And Gurley's like six picks later at nine. But I basically am just like, look, I don't know what to expect from Fournette. I guess you can make a case for Hunt over him because at least we have more, I think, of a realistic expectation for him. But like all the rookies come into play there. With Gurley, I'm just going to take Gurley.
Yes.
I would take Gurley ahead of all the rookies as well.
Yes.
All right.
But I would rank it Ajayi, Howard, Gurley, and I would trust Isaiah Crowell before Todd Gurley.
All right, how about Marshawn Lynch? He's moving down a little bit. He's now 37th overall. He's the 15th running back off the board. Marshawn Lynch.
It's getting more realistic. So, look, if you believe in him and you want to gamble on him, at least it's falling to a spot where you can justify it more so than when he was going 24.
He fell to the fifth round of our 14-team league last night. I've never been more proud of a group of podcasters.
Yeah, and they waited on quarterback, too, which is, makes sense in a 14-team league. Give me a round in a 12-team league. You're all right with Marshawn Lynch.
Cinco.
Yep.
All right.
No. Just no.
Okay. DeAndre Hopkins, now he's falling. This guy was an early round three pick at one point. Now he's 46th overall. 15th wide receiver off the board, DeAndre Hopkins.
I don't really understand. Like, something's not computing here. I don't think 15th overall wide receiver is really that out of line for DeAndre Hopkins, but there are a lot more than 15 wide receivers going in the first four rounds.
Mm-hmm. I think it's there's the not. Hand injury, the fact that we haven't seen him play.
Well, like, okay, so to clarify, Hopkins is 15th, and he's going 45th overall, and then so first four rounds will be the top 48 picks. There are four more receivers that come off the board. Keenan Allen, Alshon Jeffrey, three. Keenan Allen, Alshon Jeffrey, Demaryius Thomas. So there are 18 wide receivers in the first four rounds. And there's a little bit of space. There's actually five picks in between Devontae Adams, wide receiver 14, and DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver 15. So it's similar to what we saw with the difference between Jay Ajayi and Todd Gurley. Devontae Adams, Terrell Pryor, they're five, six picks ahead of DeAndre Hopkins, who's now a mid to late round four pick in a 12-team league.
Yeah, I'm happy taking him in the third, so I guess I'm still, and I'd rather have him than Devontae Adams.
I feel the exact same way. We're talking about a guy who's going to get peppered with targets. He's got a better quarterback situation. Hopkins and Savage worked hard during the offseason together.
He's got a better quarterback situation than last
than
year.
Then he did. Not than Adams did. Does. Adams
not
has
than
a better
Devontae
quarterback
Adams.
Situation.
Of course, just of course. Barely. I'm not comparing him to Devontae Adams' quarterback. That would be stupid.
All right.
But I think they're just trying to manage him along. We don't know what happened with his hand.
Mm-hmm. But again, I've got like 24 wide receivers in my top 48.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that the 15th guy is going at the end of the fourth round just seems weird.
All right, one more here. Tyreek Hill, 60th overall. He is the 21st wide receiver off the board after Hopkins, Keenan Allen, Jeffrey, Demaryius, Crabtree, then Kelvin Benjamin. And then nine picks later, Tyreek Hill. Kelvin Benjamin is in that tier right now with Alshon, Demaryius, Crabtree. And then it's Kelvin, and then it's Tyreek Hill, 21st wide receiver off the board. And he had a terrible week three of the preseason with three drops.
He did, but he still has game-breaking ability. And I think he's got a shot at having a very nice year.
It's just too soon, though. Him and Benjamin is just too soon.
Here's the thing. And I'm going to go back to the same thing I just said. 21st wide receiver off the board is too soon for Tyreek Hill. There's too many good receivers that are going after him. The end of the fifth round is fine. But those two don't really make sense in my head.
Right. Like
I don't mind him in early round five. I think he's going to be good. I think Kansas City is going to throw plenty. And I think the Spencer Ware injury could open up carries for Hill.
I would expect he's going to get 30 carries.
That would be more than he got last year. I'll take the under.
Okay.
I think 30's fair.
Maybe 25.
Couple a week.
What do you have, 24 last year?
24.
And let me just say this, Heath. There are almost no wide receivers going in the 50s in our ADP. It's Carlos Hyde, then Crabtree, Tevin Coleman.
Well, how many quarterbacks have gone by pick 60?
Four.
Yeah, it's not really that out of line. There's just a lot more running backs going, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. And then this round, there are some quarterbacks. There are a few tight ends going in the 50s. All right. Okay, so those are some divisive players. Some ADP risers. Tell me if this makes sense. Cam Newton is up nine spots. He is now the fifth quarterback off the board, 55th overall. It's basically even, but slightly ahead of Russell Wilson. Cam Newton, a top 5 or 6 quarterback and a top 60 pick? Does that make sense?
I raised him up, put him up higher in my rankings to 10. So I think there's a chance for him. I think if you've been, you know, on this bandwagon the whole offseason, that he's going to have the Matt Ryan type of bounce back here, and he's certainly capable of it. But that's just too high.
Yeah, I mean, I have him 6th, but one of the I end up with him quite a bit because in our drafts he doesn't go until 10th or 11th at quarterback. I'm not going to take anyone other than maybe, like, definitely Brady and Rodgers, maybe Breeze in the first 5 rounds. So that's just way too early.
I don't get it. What's changed?
We saw him play, and he threw a touchdown.
We knew he was going to play.
Well, there's been a lot of up and down with him with the health.
Right. You know, he threw
throwing,
a touchdown
not
pass.
Not throwing, practicing, not practicing.
Christian McCaffrey's looked amazing.
McCaffrey has looked
and
amazing.
And Benjamin.
Yeah, Benjamin.
Benjamin's looked good. Everybody sees him scoring touchdowns in the preseason, and that's why his ADP is up.
Best set of weapons he's ever had.
Yeah.
Without question.
I really do believe that he's not going to run the ball that much. You might get rushing touchdowns from Cam. I think the rushing yards will come down from what we've seen in the past because after his concussion last year, Cam Newton rushed for 30 or more yards 4 times in his final 11 games. He rushed for less than 10 yards 5 times. He just stopped running the ball. And yeah. I think that's – I don't know if it's going to be that bad, but I'm not counting on him to be a rushing quarterback.
I think what we got from him last year is what you should expect, around 300 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns.
But then what do you expect passing-wise?
Well, he's going to have hopefully a lot more chunk yards from short area passes if these guys – you know, we haven't seen Samuel do it yet, but if McCaffrey gets out in space and they use him right, which is what you would hope after what we've seen,
right?
Then we get a little bit easier from a guy who clearly still has a cannon and can throw the ball down the field. He doesn't have that same deep threat, at least on paper, but you have Benjamin healthy. You know, hopefully you're removed from the ACL. He can have a better season. Conditioning seems to be, you know, a non-issue anymore. Funchess does a little bit, you know, just even if he does what he's done the last couple of years. And Olsen certainly should have a few more touchdowns what he had a year ago. So he's not going to be the MVP Cam of 2015, but he will be better than what we saw in 2016. That goes without saying.
I don't expect him to get back to the 35 touchdowns, passing touchdowns from 2 years ago.
But no,
I think,
but if he gets you 25 passing along with 5
I'd
rushing,
say 35
that's
30. 30. I think 35 30s, total.
I think 30 and 5 is what I'd go with.
30 and 5 is a pretty big year.
I don't think
year.
He gets that high. All
right,
I don't know how many yards he's going to get.
3,800.
I don't feel like he gets there either. Listen, I like McCaffrey too, and I think Samuel's got a lot of potential, but I know that offensive line isn't great, and I'm very concerned what's going to happen to him when he starts taking hits.
Schedule's amazing, though.
Okay, I'll just finish with this. Would you rather have Cam Newton 55th, Ben Roethlisberger 74th overall?
Ben. Whatever you're going to say later is going to be better.
Yeah. Ben.
Okay, it's too early for Cam Newton. How about these two receivers? I'm wondering if our analysts have a lot to do with this. Willie Snead is up 10 spots.
I can't imagine how.
Well, I mean, he hasn't done anything in the preseason.
I know. As a matter of fact, Adam, I'm finishing the ADP story right now, and I think it's still a good spot for him. 29th wide receiver, 76th overall. Mm-hmm. But
it is.
He's been uninspiring in the preseason, which clearly makes me nervous.
Jamison Crowder is also up 12 spots to 78th overall. So Snead and Crowder are both going in the top 80. They will be wide receivers 28 and 29 off the board when you take Edelman out of the equation. He's still going just ahead of them. So Snead and Crowder as top 80 picks. I think you guys are fine with that. And yeah, I try not to let the preseason change too much. You know, all the theories that you have about him are still, it's not like somebody else has stepped up and had a great preseason in his, you know, instead of Snead. They just have, their first team offense hasn't been on the field all that much.
Right. So it's not panicking. So I'm glad to see that he's rising despite his failures. The one thing that was concerning was the fact that of the two guys who they decided to play into the fourth quarter of the second preseason game was Willie Snead and Colby Fleener. We know what Fleener's been since he's gotten there. It's been a disappointment. And hopefully it's not, you know, making Snead do something that he has to earn his position again. You know, prove that he needs to be among the starting, you know, wide receivers.
Are you getting nervous that he just is what he is? I'm playing devil's advocate more than anything else.
I mean, look, if he's, I think it's really hard to say because he was off to such a great start before the injury last year. And if that's the guy, he could be a monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but,
he was.
You know, it's He was put into the role Michael Thomas was put into. And then he got hurt, and then Thomas stepped up and pushed him inside. Mm-hmm. So do they have a dominant outside guy? You want to make a case for Ted Ginn? Fine. You want to make a case for Brandon Coleman? Fine. But Snead, to me, is their second best receiver. And they lost their second best receiver from a year ago.
Just get back to 2015, 980 yards, and have a decent touchdown year of 5. That's probably about where we've got him ranked right now.
And that's a great, if that's the expectation, that's a great get at 70th overall or whatever it was.
76.
That's even better.
Would you rather have Snead or Crowder?
Crowder.
Yeah, I'll take Crowder too. And I've been in that boat even as much as I've touted Snead. You know, Crowder's been somebody that from day one. I just think there's a bigger opportunity for him. You know, Crowder, Snead would be like if Michael Thomas and Brandon Cooks left, because that's where Crowder's situation is. The two guys ahead of him are gone.
And finally, Devontae Parker is up 11 spots, but surprisingly, he's only 5 picks ahead of Kevin Hogan. Devontae Parker now.
Kevin 90. Hogan.
Kevin Hogan.
I don't Browns think that's a good pick.
Chris really Hogan. Chris.
This is like the David Johnson nomination thing.
Adam, what is Hulk Hogan's ADP?
Wait, isn't... No, Terry. That's his name, right? Terry Hulk Hogan?
Terry, yes.
Yeah.
What about Paul Hogan?
Paul Hogan is quickly rising up the draft boards, but Devontae Parker is wide receiver 35 right now. Do you think you could take him over Willie Snead?
No. I cannot.
Parker? I would take him over Snead. Yes.
Yeah, I you think would. You can. There's more upside. It's close.
Yeah, there's certainly more touchdown potential. He's the big outside receiver. All right, so Parker, you know, you get Parker in the 90s, he's going to keep rising probably, but 92nd overall, that's great. I took him as my flex in the 14-team league yesterday. Let's see what overall pick that was. Where did you say?
I believe it was 62 or 63 for you.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It was the middle of round 5.
He went in it's a keeper league, so it's a little skewed, but he went in the 4th round of standard league that I did last night.
And the next wide receiver off the board after I took Parker was Pierre Garçon, and it's PPR, so I see the appeal to Garçon, but I do like Parker a lot more. I thought that he was the end of a tier, because then it was Garçon and Marshall and Emmanuel Sanders, the guys that Jamie talked about earlier when he took Zach Ertz, but he also took Garçon one pick before Ertz. All right, good stuff. So those are some ADP risers. We'll do some ADP fallers tomorrow. Can you guys?
Can I give you a team that the team that I drafted last night? Just see what you think. You guys think?
Sure.
12 teams.
12 teams, yeah. Half point PPR. So I started with 2 receivers in Julio Jones and Michael Thomas.
That's a good start.
Yeah, I liked it.
Wait, what pick did you have?
I had the 4th pick.
Ooh, that's late for Michael Thomas.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy. Then in the 3rd round, I took Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Round 4, Carlos Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Finally went tight end in the 5th round. Heath's favorite guy, Greg Olsen.
Yes.
Heath would love this too. 6th round, Stephon Diggs.
This is the best team you've ever drafted.
It's pretty good. Danny Woodhead, round 7.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback finally in round 8, Kirk Cousins. Now imagine this. Parker fell to round 9.
Ooh.
Wow. Why did you take Cousins over Parker?
I just thought I needed a quarterback at this point, so it was a situation where I needed to, you know, lock up that spot.
Yeah.
And so then Burkhead after Parker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tyrell Williams. Pat's defense, and then Will Lutz.
I mean, that team is amazing.
Yeah.
Who are the running backs?
Kudos to the owner, whoever that person is, man or woman, probably woman, who drafted that team. Oh, wait, Jamie, you said you drafted that team?
Yes.
Clearly it can't be a woman because there's no way that a man would draft for a woman.
No.
A woman would be able to draft her.
Oh, you guys are idiots. Now, you guys... Wait a second. Was that her team?
Yeah.
I did not even realize that. Okay.
Yeah, how would you not realize it?
Yeah.
Because I didn't draft her team. You idiots. I did not draft her team. I'm so tired of this crap. I deal with this crap every single year. I didn't draft her freaking team. Allie did a draft last night with her girls. It's usually a 14-team league. It was 12 teams. But first of all, you said it was half PPR?
That's what the message I got said.
Okay, so I already got her off to a terrible start because I told her it was full PPR. That's what I thought it was. That's like pretty much the only thing I told her. I was doing our podcast league draft. Oh, No, I did not draft for her.
Then you know what? She deserves a gold medal.
Did she host the show?
She used your rankings.
That might be the best draft we've seen.
She drafts better teams than you do.
She used your rankings. That's why she did well. You give yourselves a pat on the back. Did I give her some tips? Said, yeah, okay, maybe you start thinking about a – I said – what did I say? I said, if you don't take Gronkowski, then you should wait until like the fifth round to take a tight end. That's probably what I told her. I gave her general advice. I said, if you don't get Rodgers or Brady, wait a long time to get a quarterback, that kind of stuff. But other than that, she just used your rankings and made her team. I did not draft for her. I respect the league. I wouldn't do that.
I'll tell you what. I am so impressed. I would like to interview her on the podcast.
Yeah, that will never happen. I was trying to get her to come to Philadelphia, but she will not be able to. So, disappointing.
That's too bad. Well, she did a great job.
She did. No, she's a very good team. I'm very happy for her. All right. Good stuff. And I think it's great that those girls – you want to hear another funny thing about that draft? So
sure.
During the –
Yes, Commissioner.
No, I'm not. All girls league, obviously, and the husbands are not – and the boyfriends, whatever, are not allowed to help. And something was said in the draft room that would never be said in one of my leagues. One of the girls was like, OMG, the Devil Wears Prada just started. And I was like, well – things that would never be said in my draft.
Now, how would you know that?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, you
staring
weren't
at
in the
draft room,
huh?
She was right next to me. We like each other's company. We were drafting next to each other.
I mean, listen, that's sweet and all, but if you could see what's happening in the chat room, then presumably you could see who's available.
I was following along, but I wasn't telling her who to pick.
Maybe you would give her a couple of choices. Like in round
not
two,
really.
You're like, you could take Michael Thomas or Josh Scobie.
I think
what you need to do next year to eliminate all doubt is when the draft is scheduled, you need to leave the apartment.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Of course not.
The Yankees.
Then maybe Allie needs to be the one to leave the apartment just for the draft.
I think that I gave her standard tips, and okay, whatever. So, what was I going to say?
I have a better idea. Next year, fly me up. I'll spend the night at your place. Put me and Allie in a different room than you. Oh. And I'll make sure that you don't interfere.
I got weird
draft.
Quick.
This has gotten awkward. Really awkward.
Yeah. No. I'm not trying to make it weird. I'm just going to, you know, someone's got to make sure.
I'll spend the night at your house.
Got to make sure.
Put me and your wife in a different room.
No. When the draft is over, she can go back to being with Adam. I'm not.
Oh, okay. Then that's fine.
Bring up a marriage here.
Hey, now.
Thank you.
Never mind the fact that, you know.
No. From something that is funny to something that's not funny, let's do Team Name Tuesday. And by the way, we didn't have time for Podcast League Draft, so we'll do that tomorrow. And tomorrow is going to be a bit of a strategy show. So, yeah, we haven't really covered how to draft in deeper leagues. I think we'll do that tomorrow. We'll go position by position and give our thoughts on standard leagues and deeper leagues and whatnot. And then Thursday, we won't have – since we're traveling to Philadelphia, what we're going to do is we're going to do a mock live draft today, a real draft. Our Fantasy Football Today PPR draft, we're going to record that, do it on the air, and air it on Thursday. And then Friday, you're going to hear the Philadelphia show. So, Team Name Tuesday from Josh in the Freddie Quimby voice. It's pronounced Crowder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stefan from Toronto has like 10 Simpsons team names. Ty Montgomery Hearns. Jordy Nelson Punts. You like it?
I like the Montgomery Burns one.
But he put Montgomery Hearns.
Yeah.
Groundskeeper Willie Sneed. I like that one. That's actually good. Krusty the Jadeveon Clowney.
I like that one.
Emmanuel Ned Sanders. Like Ned Flanders.
Yeah.
Reverend Lovejoik. Not bad. Principal Redskinners. Lenny Leonard Fournette. And Michael Crab Appletree.
Like Crab Apple Tree.
Yeah, Crab Apple Tree, but spelled Crab Apple Tree. Okay, those are decent. This is from Matt. Sergeant Pepper's Landry Ertz Cobb Band.
Landry
Ertz Cobb.
Too much.
Yeah, it is. But like, what if it were Julius Pepper's Landry Ertz Cobb
the
Band?
The effort is such an A, but yeah. The actual execution is.
Did these all come in through the email, or are some of these from Chris Towers' piece?
No, these are all from email.
Because we do have the 50 best or worst, I'm not sure if it's that one of those two, on the website.
Oh, check it out. This is from Glenn. The Hunt for Ned October.
I like that
That's
one.
That's not bad.
Not bad. Okay, this one I get to sing is from Chris. Oh, baby, you got Willie Sneed. What?
No one has any idea what that was.
I know exactly what that is.
Biz Marquee, just a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Heath.
But I think you've got to find a player to go with the next stanza of that song.
Hmm. Oh, baby, you got Willie Sneed, and you say he's just... What rhymes with friend?
Ben?
And you say he's a tight end. No, didn't work.
That doesn't work.
This is a Game of Thrones one from Lance. Big Ben the Knee.
That's a good one.
And a couple more from Alexander. I think we had this one last year. Lacey Underalls. Mm-hmm. Which is very funny because it's Seahawks and it's Caddyshack. Lacey Underalls.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one I had to Google. Sam in Denver. McCaff me outside. How about Dak?
That's funny. That is outstanding.
How about that or how about Dak?
Dak.
Yeah. Yeah. That bonus points for the Dak.
Okay, good stuff. I'd never seen that before. I don't know how, but I'd never seen
really?
That. Really? Yeah.
Stop drafting for your wife and pay attention to the world.
I guess so. So some emails to finish the show at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Let me ask you real quick, give me a yes or no on handcuffs though. Did Chris Johnson lose his grip, literally with the fumbles, on the handcuff roll?
No. In Arizona,
I'd say no.
So he's still the handcuff?
Yeah.
If you insist on carrying a handcuff,
he's the
for
backup.
David Johnson,
don't use the word handcuff. He's
right.
The backup. Okay.
But you're not drafting him.
No.
He's not going to do what David Johnson did.
Oh, he's not? Is no. Malcolm Brown the handcuff for Todd Gurley?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Dunbar's hurt. So yeah.
But again, I don't know if you want to carry that on your bench. The deeper the league, the more likely you might be to do it.
The handcuff rule to me is like, can he be a number two running back? If he
gets
the
touches? I don't think either one of those guys can. Sometimes handcuffs are good and
he's looked good in the preseason.
And can be helpful, and sometimes they just hold you down.
Niall Davis, yeah. Is he the handcuff?
He looks like he's the guy behind Le'Veon Bell to start the season.
But and
James Conner looked a little better in his second preseason game.
All right,
so it could be a little messy.
Rabbit. Is Matt Breida the handcuff to Carlos Hyde?
Yes,
for sure.
All right,
for sure, more than Hightower,
for sure. I don't know.
I still think it's Hightower.
Jamie still thinks it's Hightower. It's not Joe Williams, for sure.
It is not Joe Williams.
Emails. Email from Bryce. Where's he from?
He is from Costa Mesa, California.
Dear Mean Joe, LC, Ernie, and Dwight. Steelers?
Are you guys nuts? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I have a question about how to apply Heath's nips to a 16-team league. I was picking the 11th spot, half PPR. I kept Heath's nips on my mind throughout the draft. I found out a few rounds into the draft that my league mates were reaching like crazy on running backs, and I told myself, let them do it. Value at other positions will fall to you. Just take the best player available. Long story short, my running backs are Bilal Powell and Darren McFadden. Did I screw up?
No, it's zero RB.
Yeah, you might have waited a round or two too long. Looking at, like, you got Powell, McFadden, Deion Lewis, Tim Hightower, Devontae Booker, and Orleans Darkwa.
Yeah, that depth really sucks, dude.
Yeah, but that's what happens in 16-team leagues. You've also got Tom Brady, Jordy Nelson, Brandon Cooks, Willie Snead.
You might be making a deal.
I think that best player available is, you know, it's a nice strategy. I do think you have to adjust a little bit to what your league does.
Well, it's yes, and my no intentional positional strategy is not best player available. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you don't set your strategy until you see what everyone else is doing.
All right. This is from, no name or city. Give me one, guys.
Hans from Berlin, Germany.
Okay, Hans from Berlin wants a grade in a 10-team PPR league, third pick. I'm not going to do many of these, but I'll do some. Are you okay with this team? Antonio Brown, Doug Baldwin, Lamar Miller, Dalvin Cook, Golden Tate, CJ Anderson, Delanie Walker, and Jameis Winston. That's the starting lineup. The bench is good, too. So Jameis, Lamar Miller, Dalvin Cook, CJ Anderson, Antonio Brown, Doug Baldwin, Golden Tate.
You're selling the bench way short. He's got Doug Martin, Jameson Crowder, Phillip Rivers, and Willie Snead.
All right, it is a 10-team league. What do you think? Lamar Miller and Dalvin Cook.
I love the depth. The depth is so good. You kind of do a double take on the running backs, but I think by the time Doug Martin comes back, he'll be A-okay.
C-minus.
No.
You don't have a top 10 quarterback. You don't have a top 10 tight end.
He's got a top 10 quarterback. Jameis will finish as a top 10 quarterback.
All right, this is
and it's a full PPR.
Oh, what do you think? What do you think?
Give this man a B-plus and a vanilla ice cream cone.
Joey in Las Vegas Which late round flyer do you like the most, or flyers? Zay Jones, Thomas Rawls, Deontay Foreman, Jack Doyle. Zay Jones, Thomas Rawls, Foreman, Doyle.
If I had to rank them, it would be Rawls. Ooh, I don't know how I'd sort them out between those guys. Just as far as late round flyers go with high upside, Foreman could be up there, then Jones, then Doyle. But I like them all. I think they all have a place in a fantasy league.
Yeah, I'd go Rawls, Jones, Foreman, Doyle.
Jared from the home of Walmart. I grab
Arkansas.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I grab Gurley, Murray, Gillisley, and CJ Anderson. I really wanted Doug Martin, but he went for too much money. So I have Gurley, DeMarco Murray, Gillisley, and CJ Anderson. I have been offered Doug Martin and Amir Abdullah for Todd Gurley. Would you do that?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. Stick with what you got, good running backs. And give me a one-word answer, guys. This is from Richard Hong in California. Who's got the most upside? Marquise Goodwin, Ardarius Stewart, Kendall Wright, or Curtis Samuel?
Right.
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 God, it feels so wrong to say right, but it's right.
I got him in the 14th round of our 14-team league last night.
Ooh.
And how'd you feel about that?
Really pretty good.
You didn't feel all right about it?
I felt right.
It felt right. Well, that was a fun show, and tomorrow we'll talk some strategy. We'll update you on Ezekiel Elliott, hopefully. We'll have a lot more for you. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Fantasy Football Today. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye. It's all